Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 125 in our teaching series, a study of the book of Acts with Paul's writings, titled Chapter 20, I Pledge Allegiance to the Flag. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
We do welcome you here today. Be given more information on a class and on ministries. And I'll give you more information on that in a week or two. As we begin today's teaching, I do welcome everyone that's watching online. Glad you're here with us. We're honored that you're here with us, and I'm honored that everyone's in the sanctuary. And as the old preacher said, invite somebody with you next week. I remember old Jack Hiles. He used to, every week, he would, Jack Hiles actually had the largest bus ministry in the United States. And one reason he did is he's the guy that started it. He started the bus ministry in Chicago, outside of Chicago. And his church got about 30, 40,000. Now, I'm talking back in the 60s and 70s is when that was started. And then, you know, everybody got into the bus ministry. Well, it came out of Jack Hiles. But his thing was probably the most, in that time, definitely the most controversial preacher on the planet. Most people's never heard of him. And but his deal was you always bring somebody to church with you. And he preferred somebody that was lost. And he said, and that's what got the bus ministry going. He got frustrated and he said, if y'all aren't bringing them, we're going to bring them in. They come in next Sundays and the deacons had bought 20 to 30 school buses. Said, okay, y'all aren't going to bring them. I'm going to bring them. They're coming in. And by the time the church grew, he lost, I think it was about a third of that original group because they didn't want kids and poor people and everybody all over Chicago in their sanctuary. So they got upset with him. Probably led more people to Christ than anybody in contemporary times, outside of, outside of Billy Graham, but he had, this guy had incredible reach. All right, as we begin today, I want to start with, we'll be on chapter 20 again, lesson 125. Does anybody notice this picture, be around the 1900s, maybe 1910? This is a preacher. There again, I like to remind us of those that went before us and their contribution. It could be great or it could be small, but let's educate ourselves here just a little bit to this gentleman. Francis Bellamy, he is the author of The Pledge of Allegiance. Isn't that something? The author of he's actually a Baptist preacher. Now let's look at it here. Here is the Pledge of Allegiance. If you would, read it with me, please, if you'd like. Those that don't, that's all right. You can just sit there. But let's go here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, this Baptist pastor, which was just a kind of a nobody at that time, but he felt impressed. He is called, not that he was necessarily the first one, but he is kind of like Jack Hiles in bus ministry. He's the one that got it out there. He was this guy. Francis Bellamy is known as the guy that invented Vacation Bible School in the 1900s, a Baptist pastor. This is the guy. There was a few that had some different attempts at things. But he's the guy that all of a sudden, God's told us to do this. Here, we're going to do it in the summer for the kids. And he started an association, a Vacation Bible. That's the guy. But that's the same guy that wrote the Pledge of Allegiance. The reason he wrote the Pledge of Allegiance was for all the Vacation Bible schools. That's how that came about. And of course, our government, our house, and everybody picked up on it pretty quick. It was so successful. And everybody was so, they were impressed with the Vacation Bible schools, but they also were impressed that when they opened the opening ceremony, They said a pledge allegiance to a flag, a pledge allegiance to the American flag, pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, and then pledge allegiance to God's holy word, the Bible. That's the three. And so this guy realized, and he tied it into it biblically, how important it was to verbally say a pledge of allegiance. That's all. But he was showing how when you pledge your allegiance, he would teach the children that you needed to be reminded of who you have pledged your allegiance to. It was also said in during this time, a truth that is not taught is a truth that has been lost. The truth is not taught, truth's been lost. So when's the last time you've heard a preaching message on the Pledge of Allegiance? I mean, a lot of people this day and time will not say the Pledge of Allegiance. And let me tell you something. It's okay. I've heard people tell me, well, Alan, I don't want to say a Pledge of Allegiance to this, to our flag. I don't want to pledge my allegiance to the flag. And I said, well, it's a good thing for you that you're in this country, because in this country, it protects your right not to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a good country to pick that in. You can't do it in most of them. But if you don't want to do that, give your allegiance to a country. Now, I don't give my allegiance to this country just because it's the United States. I give my allegiance to this country because I think God did it on purpose. I don't think our country was an accident, nor the movement of some smart man somewhere. I think the United States was done on purpose, and it was done on purpose by God. And so for that reason, I pledge allegiance to it. So when we say a pledge of allegiance, I want us to look at this right quickly. It's done by Francis Bellamy. He was the guy that is known for starting Vacation Bible School, which you still enjoy even today. A lot of Bible schools, though, have dropped the Pledge of Allegiances. And that's the very reason in the beginning it was written. In 1892, this was written by Baptist minister Francis Bellamy for a magazine called The Youth's Companion. Now, that was the magazine that he developed and that was developed for Vacation Bible School, for children. It was this magazine, and he was ahead of distributing it and getting all of these summertime Bible schools. Those Bible schools then, though, lasted a lot longer than 3 days than we do today. I don't know if they had better discipline or what, but they pulled off like, it'd be like 2, sometimes 3 weeks for Vacation Bible School. I can't imagine. In 1923 and 24, the word "my flag" were changed to "flag of the United States." Okay, you see up there where it says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the flag of the United States." You see that, the flag? Originally, when Bellamy wrote it, he wrote it "my flag." I pledge allegiance to my flag of the United States. And he thought that was, but then it was changed in 1923 to the word "St. My" were changed to "the flag," because there was so much immigration going on then that people were waving and marching on their flag of the country that they migrated from. In our legislation in Washington, legislators said, no, this is not the way. You come to the United States, you have to assimilate to our laws and customs. So for that reason, they changed my flag to the flag. Now, I remind you, we had a little uproar in Michigan last week. I don't know if anybody in the room is aware of that. And isn't that amazing to me? We're not aware of it. That 45,000 Muslims marched on the city. I guess nobody's aware of that. To me, that's amazing. Well, you had a Democratic primary, and the Muslim won. So the Muslims hit the streets to the number of 45,000 marching and rejoicing that the government is now turning Muslim. Now, of course, that was a primary. They got to be in the election in November. But here we're sitting here. We don't even know what happened. Is that not amazing? Do you not have to say to yourself, why did I not see it on the news? Well, the main news is not going to carry it. You say, well, Alan, that's conspiracy. That's not conspiracy. You didn't know it. One of the biggest marches, biggest Muslim march known to man in our country. Nobody knew it. Is that not shocking to you? I'm trying to shake you a little. Is it working? To me, that's incredible. So we're in North Carolina, not realizing what happened to our neighboring state. It leads me to, and that's the reason I'm doing the Pledge of Allegiance now with this in mind. They changed the wording from my flag to the flag because of the same problem we are now seeing today. And you can make that identification. Now, then in 1923 to 24, the words my flag were changed, the flag of the United States. In 54, Congress added the words under God. And that happened during the Cold War. So we see here, one nation under God, indivisible. Well, under God was added in 54 to the Pledge of Allegiance. And a Baptist preacher once wrote it, but he was trying to keep it, you know, acceptable. He done pretty good. It just so happens that our Congress wanted to be stronger about it than even the Baptist preacher that wrote it. Our Congress added under God. Now, why? Because during this time of the Cold War, the fear of the United States or the constituents of the United States was communism. And everybody in Congress said, we want everybody in the world to know we're under God, not communism or socialism. That is the motivation on why under God got put in it. Is this information worth anything? I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, I think we need to know, we need to understand what's happening right in front of us. All right, let's move on. So our Congress added under God in 1954. So you can see our Congress kind of liked the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, it was said everywhere. Said before ball games, said in school, all your local schools. Now listen, there was a big stink. There was a pushback all the way through since 1900 of the Pledge of Allegiance. There's always a little pushback. And at one time, you said the Pledge of Allegiance in all of your local schools. The pushback was some people don't want to say a Pledge of Allegiance. It's taken to court. And it was said in court. Nobody was demanding that you said it. It was always, if you want to say it, say it. If you don't, you can just sit there. It's okay. But anyway, they had a court case to make it law that you can't make somebody say the Pledge of Allegiance no more than you. The only thing you can make somebody do in school is have a right answer to 2 + 2. But evidently, you don't have to have the right answer in biology anymore. We'll not go into that. Now, so here we see that it was added under God in 54. Now, watch this. The pledge has existed in some form since September of 1892, when it appeared in the magazine article that commemorates, and here's why he wrote it. It commemorated the 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus' arrival in the New World. The reason Francis wrote it was for Vacation Bible School because he wanted them to understand Columbus, and he tied that in that God sent him here. Okay? So he wanted us to see we are given a pledge of allegiance to this country because God created it, and they believe and taught. It was done through Christopher Columbus. Was one of those people that God used. So he wrote it to tie it in to Christopher Columbus' arrival in the New World. Saying the Pledge of Allegiance is a spoken promise of loyalty and devotion to the United States and its core values. Now, I submit to you scholars in this room and watching online, I submit to you a thought. I am somewhat persuaded. Do you not ever wonder why we don't see the movement of the Holy Ghost in our congregations like it was 50 years ago? Now, don't get me wrong. Hear me through here. I'm not saying that we don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about a Shekinah, a conviction of the Holy Ghost where you're sitting in a service and there's weeping and there's lost people getting saved. And now, I want to submit, that's kind of a broad statement I just made, but try to follow me here. I need your help real bad to hear what I'm saying, because I'm not that good at saying it. But I have got something to tell you. Help me here. I think the church, citizens of our country, ultimately children and citizens of the kingdom of God, we are losing or have lost the meaning of being allegiant to anything. To anything. Friendships, marriage, God, country. We've thrown allegiance out the window. Don't need it. Ever what you, this is the explanation. Why do we feel that way? Whatever's your truth is good enough for me. You have your truth and I got mine. So we don't pledge an allegiance to anything. Everybody's got their own free will. Just do as you please and we'll all live happily ever after. So therefore, a truth that is not taught is a truth that's lost. So therefore, as Christians, we don't even feel a lot, do not even feel an allegiance to a local church. I think it's very biblical. I'm fixing to show you. You might want to get up and run now if you don't want to hear this. Can I say something critical here and y'all not hate me and wish I'd die? I've been going to New Life for 20-some years. There's been this little bit of a phenomena to me is, and I've said this in the elders group before, everybody feels like they're visitors. It's like we don't have a allegiance of I'm a member of New Life Church. I'm just visiting, so therefore I'll just leave at any time. I have no allegiance to this body. Can you hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying you have to, but I'm just looking for a couple. I'm not saying everybody here. I'm not looking for it. What I'm saying is, I think that allegiance has died. The concept of allegiance, I think, has died in America, or is dying. It's definitely died as far as our local churches are concerned. I've even proposed here at New Life, we don't have a written rule. I'm for of membership. I'm for it. Just because I'm wanting people to feel like they're members here. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to visit for 30 years, that's okay. But it's okay, you can do that. But we want you to feel like you're part of this family. And we've not done that real well. But we want to do better. You know what I'm saying? I've had people come in to me and say, well, Alan, I just don't feel like I'm part of New Life. I said, well, you're right at home. Nobody else does either. And now I know I'm being a little exaggerating a little bit as I say this, but I'm trying to make a point of allegiance, whether to God, country, or anything. I'm thinking, listen, now, if I hush and get over in the Word of God, I'm going to show you where there's a problem happens in Ephesus that the Apostle Paul calls for a meeting in Malenta. He's going to say, y'all meet me here, elders, because I'm going to tell you about a problem that's in Ephesus. And he talks about this great schism and this problem. Then later on, he finds out that there's a problem in Colossia. And here's the problem in Colossia. And then what I'm getting ready to tell you is the reason he wrote the book of Colossians. The reason Paul, you can ask me, what's the book of Colossians about? False prophets. How do you know that? Well, it's not by memory. Y'all know I don't remember well. But I do understand the book of Colossians. It's about false teaching, false prophets, come into the church, and yada, yada, yada. That's what the book... So Paul wrote this book to the Colossian church about false teachings coming in. Now, the Colossian church did not quit preaching Jesus Christ. They started preaching other things that you needed with Jesus Christ. That was Paul's rebuke to the Colossian church. You see, you can get right rid of Jesus and not say, I'm getting rid of Jesus. That's right. You can't in your own life. Are you with me? So you don't get Jesus rid of, it's just like being allegiant. Allegiance is an adjective, but it's the practical behavior of a Christian towards God and his kingdom. I wouldn't mind if you had a pledge of allegiance to the kingdom of God. I'll say it in a heartbeat. Next week, I'm going to teach you the pledge of allegiance to the Word of God, to the Bible. There is one out there. And if y'all will endure, can see the truth in it, periodically, we're going to say a pledge of allegiance to the Bible. When we come in here and start our teaching, we have an allegiance to the Word of God. And I'm pledging my allegiance to the Word of God, and I'm going to say it out loud. It's real short and simple, but I'm going to say it out loud to remind me that I'm pledging allegiance to this book. It just so happens Christians today think they can take this book, and it's optional. Things in the book are optional. Do y'all know I'm telling you the truth? Just because I don't understand everything in this book, I didn't used to believe in healing. I did not. Preached against it. Split churches over that doctrine. Me. God helped me with it. I got cancer. Told I was going to die. And he healed me. I don't recommend that drastic of a teaching procedure from God. It's a testimony to how hard-headed I am. I am very loyal to what I know. God's faithfulness is stronger than my loyalty to what I know. Amen. So, when I say, let's say a pledge of allegiance to the Bible, you'd be surprised how many people could not do that. You'd be surprised. And now I'm like, okay, you don't want to say a pledge of allegiance to the flag. Okay, you don't like Vietnam or something. Okay, don't say pledge of allegiance. But why in the world you couldn't say a pledge of allegiance to the Bible, I don't know. But did you know that over 50% of the Christians in Christendom today does not believe that's the inerrant Word of God? So therefore, they could not say a pledge of allegiance to the Bible. Over 50% of people that call themselves your brothers and sisters in Christ. Does that make them lost? No, don't make them lost. Just so happens God's got that one wrapped up pretty good. You just believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, receive him, and be saved. He doesn't say just because you believe things wrong, you get lost. Can somebody say glory, hallelujah? I was saved when I didn't believe in healing. But God loved me too much to keep me there. Can we say, next week we're going to do that. So if you come prepared to say a pledge of allegiance to the Bible, if you don't want to, based on our Constitution of the United States, you don't have to say it. So everybody can come. Now, all right, I want you to keep in mind, a truth that's not taught is lost. I want you to keep in mind that the word allegiance, the spirit, I'm going to give you Hebrew here in a minute. The spiritual condition of the heart of man is losing allegiance to God and is being more allegiant to self than it's ever been. We're saying pledge allegiance to self. Well, I think I deserve 3 vacations a year. Or I think I this. Or I think I... We're pledging allegiance to ourself. There's got to be a distinction as Christians in whom we pledge our allegiance to. Now, let's move on. It says, saying the pledge of allegiance is a spoken promise of loyalty and devotion to the United States. That's the pledge of allegiance to the United States, to the flag. Now, watch this one. Now, this is interesting to me. The word allegiance is an adjective that means loyal, faithful, or devoted to a person, country, group, church, or cause. In other words, a marriage, the marriage vows is that you've pledged allegiance to your spouse. That's what it is. It's like a covenant. You've pledged allegiance. Now, what is my purpose? My purpose among this, what I believe, a prophetic group of people, my purpose is to make us all aware that there is a spiritual stance that we're losing. That spiritual stance is allegiant. Whom are we allegiant to? The enemy doesn't have to take Jesus out of our church. He just has to add so much other stuff that you don't see Jesus. Can you see that? That's what the book of Colossians is about. When Paul wrote it, he was saying there's things creeping in. What they did was, in Colossians, they mixed Judaism, mysticism, Gnosticism, all the schisms, they mixed together with Christianity, calling it Christianity. Why do I have some reservations about those people who think they're hyper-spiritual? You can be hyper-spiritual, but not be hyper, I want to use the word mystic, but it's not the correct word. It's all mystical. Well, if you get away from a cross, you went too far. That's all I know. The cross, what happened with the book of Colossians, Paul calls these elders down from Ephesus to Lentus. He doesn't meet them in Ephesus. He calls them there and said, listen, I want to talk with you guys. I'm fixing to leave to go back to Jerusalem. I'm probably going to be killed. That's what he was saying. So he said, I got some things I want to tell you. So he starts telling those elders of Ephesus about to be careful, for there's some wolves, there's some false teaching. You know, Jesus even mentioned that in these latter days. So it's hard to overemphasize false teaching. It's hard to overemphasize that, even though I don't like to look around, like I'm going around pointing my finger at every false teacher everywhere. I'll let y'all do that. What I want to do is I want to make us aware that it is an issue in this book. And it first starts off with something that's sneaky, and that is you won't pledge allegiance. You've been saved, but yet you do not pledge allegiance to the salvation of Jesus Christ. You don't, well, what does that look like? To pledge your allegiance, if somebody talks to me honestly about the American flag, you'll get me upset pretty quick. Now, you just will. Because I personally believe God started this country. You can say, but Alan, look at the stuff our government's doing. Well, do something about it. You gonna run to Spain? Or you gonna stay here? You can start by going to church, being part of a family that's praying against this pit of hell that's trying to come against our country. You'll talk about the flag, but you won't pray 5 minutes for it. That's hypocrisy. The book of Colossians written to you, not as a believer, but as heresy. Can you hear what I'm saying? Am I too soft? Now watch it. This is such a serious problem of being allegiant to or being loyal. If anybody's loyal, I mean, a lot of people have trouble with Trump because he demands loyalty. And he's just being biblical. You say, well, everybody should think for themselves. Not if they've agreed to follow what that man's doing. Jesus is not asking for my opinion. I have drawn allegiance to Jesus Christ, so he's already told me what I'm to think, act, and do. Well, I think God would like my opinion. It has not been written. He's trying to save you from that. Now, let's watch it. In the Bible, being allegiant means showing loyal devotion to the Word of God and to Christ. Fidelity and keeping the charge or covenant obligations owed to God. In other words, it means we've been charged to announce, to defend, to say on behalf of our God, on behalf of the Word of God. A simple thing. Why do I want to recognize these ministries? Number one, the Word of God says to do that. There's been people with these different gifts. You're supposed to recognize them. Call them forth. To me, that's being loyal to this book. That's why. Do I have to feel it? No, I don't have to feel it. A friend of mine, Terry Estes, which I trust, come up and say, "Hey, Alan, you need to look at this." I don't know if y'all have noticed it. Terry's a pretty good-sized gentleman. And when he has something on his mind, he thinks he's holding it back, but he's very forceful. And he'll make a grown man cry when he's being easy. So Terry says this to me. I heard it. I knew it was God. I could confirm it in his book. And something inside of me said, "Glory, hallelujah, I like that. I can feel it." I'm sorry, and I prayed, and I asked God to forgive me for dragging my feet. And then I asked him to make Terry hurry up next time. Now, watch this. The Hebrew concepts of hesed, is a Hebrew word, means covenant loyalty or steadfast love. Pretty strong. What is allegiance? We use English word allegiance, Hebrew. Covenant loyalty or steadfast love. That's how allegiant you're supposed to be. Now, here's what you got to understand. I'm going to do psychology on you here. Psychologically, Satan uses psychology. Psychologically, we think as long as something's being debated in our lives, what's God, what's not, we believe psychologically, as long as I've got that in debate, I'm not being held responsible for it. God's not holding me to it yet because I'm still debating it in my heart. Can anybody identify what I'm trying to say? Psychologically, we stay in debate. Most of this stuff is not debatable. God would rather you say, "God, I'm not going to do it," or "God, I'm going to do it." God has less problems when we say, "God, I'm just not going to do it." He'd rather you be hot or cold as lukewarm. Christians today have got lukewarmness as their default position in life. You can't do that if you've pledged allegiance to this book, to the cross of Christ. You can't do that. Well, I can't. What's my problem, Alan? You have left the understanding and the revelation of what allegiance means. You've signed up for more than you think. There's not a bigger grace person in this room than me. Not a bigger one. My problem is I know the truth of the Word of God. God says, "Yes, Alan, my grace is there." But, and listen, I can't apply it. God applies it. You not ever rung him on the phone and say, "God, don't you think it's time for a little grace here? Lord, I don't think I can stand anymore. Lord, my days are really going bad. Hey, God, you there? Pick up, Lord, pick up. Can you hear me now?" Great, God's one that applies it in his time. So I think we bank a little too much on grace being applied. Well, yeah, it's going to be, but it ain't yet. It's in the ain't yet times that you get you killed. Now, so there's a Hebrew concept of that word. Here's another word, emuna, translated faith or faithfulness, representing a firm, reliable, and trusting loyalty to God's character. Does anybody see that? Yeah, look, representing a firm, that means strong. Reliable, my allegiance to God in a Hebrew term needs to be reliable. But see, reliable is not for me. Reliable means God can count on me. That's what this means. not about you counting on God. It's about, can God count on you? Well, I thought, well, I was always a sinner, and God could never, I was always unreliable, and God couldn't trust me and all that. You're wallowing in grace. It's not true. God is looking for those that he can trust and are reliable. Why did he pick David against Goliath? Because he was trustworthy and he was reliable. All right, let's watch it here. Representing a firm, reliable, and trusting loyalty. Wow. A trusting loyalty means trusting loyalty. A trusting loyalty. Do we understand what loyalty means? That means I'm willing to go with God even though it looks like God's not answering the phone. I'm loyal because of what this book says. I'm not, everybody else can change, but I'm loyal. There again, I hate to use Trump in a message, but Trump has one thing in his political structure, and that's loyalty. He doesn't care if you're wrong, but if you're not loyal to him, he'll get rid of you. And the reason is he can't trust you. The reason we're loyal is so God can trust us. Well, I want to do more for the kingdom of God. Can God trust you? Has your reliability proven that God can move you into the next level? Now, we just need to think about these things. Here's the other word, mesmertha, meaning a charge. There again, we're talking about allegiance. A charge, guard, or watch, used in passages like 1 Chronicles 12:29, to describe keeping, now watch it, everybody look at the screen. By keeping one's military or political allegiance. Well, I thought we were supposed to have separation of church and state. Well, you can do all that separation you want to. Are you politically being allegiant to God and his word? What that means is, if who you're voting for doesn't line up with this book, you don't vote for them. That's what that means. It's talking about politically, Hebrew word, politically, whether you're in military or politically, or does your allegiance apply there? Why do I vote the way that I vote? Because politically speaking, my allegiance is to God, so therefore, for me to politically line up with more of what God's saying, I got to go this route. But I don't like the person. I don't like myself last week. Right? It's important that we understand this word allegiance. Here's another Hebrew word. Often translates loving kindness, mercy, or loyal love. Wow. Is that not a new word? Loyal love. Had a guy tell me the other day, well, Alan, I just don't love her no more. I just don't. Listen, if a man or woman comes up to you and say, I just don't love her no more, they got another man or woman. Maybe one out of 10,000, but I'm still in the 9,000 somewhere because I hadn't run into the first one yet. Y'all didn't need that information, did you? I hope none of you's never used that phrase. Now, enduring loyalty expected within a committed relationship or covenant. It's called loyal love. It describes the active, enduring loyalty expected within a committed relationship or covenant. It's called a royal love. My question, is your love for God loyal? It means I want to be loyal to God. Why do I not sin? Because I have a loyal love for God the Father. That's why. Because my love, do you realize when we sin, we're not being loyal? We're not using loyal love? I'm not being loyal. Sin means you're an adulterer. Sin means you don't loyally love God. That's not happening. Now, we're ready to begin today's teaching. I'm out of time 5 minutes ago. That's my introduction. my introduction to, and now next week I'm going to pick up, we'll see if we can get past the introduction. We're going to pledge allegiance to the Word of God. And we're going to be saying pledge allegiance to the Word of God a lot in this class, if you'll come by. Because I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of pledging my allegiance to the Word of God, nor the flag of the United States. I'm not ashamed of that. If this country's going awry, that's because my influence is not influencing. I need to get in there. I'm waiting for everybody else to do it. So I'm going to sit here and criticize about it. Church is the same way. Church is the same way. I've preached enough. Y'all are tired of hearing me. So let's stand and you test the truth. If there's any truth that I've said here today, I ask and pray that you'll test it. You'll test the truth. And if I've challenged you in any way with the truth of the Word of God, I ask and pray it'll be quickened to your soul and you can leave this place today and say, and I've been challenged by God Himself, by His Word. I've been challenged. I receive my challenge. And dear God, I ask and pray that you'll give us the strength of your Spirit to help us receive the challenge of your Word and that we would understand that we can pledge allegiance to you, to the cross. We pledge allegiance to the Word of God. It is in you that we pledge our allegiance in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen.